John is the scribe who sees this tremendous scene in heaven. And in the hand of the one who is sitting on the throne in chapter 4, there is a book sealed on the backside with seven seals. And a strong angel is proclaiming with a loud voice, who is asking the question, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, no man in the earth, and no man under the earth, if a man is there, could open the book. And I wept much, until an elder said, weep not, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals. And I beheld this lamp. Now, just think of that. Let's go to Revelation 10. And this mighty one that came down has this little book open because the seals are off. And he cries as a lion roars, and seven thunders utter their voices. And in the uttering of those voices, you will notice that they were sealed up. They were not able to be given at that particular time. Now, in Revelation 22, in verse 10, it says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, and he that is unjust still, and so on. Now, what I'm looking at here is the fact that this book that was sealed required the Lamb whose blood was shed, who is the Redeemer. Now, believe me, there is nothing that God has ever done that requires a Redeemer. So I am thinking that this book that has been sealed has not been sealed by God, but has been sealed by man. In other words, man has got himself in a pickle. Just like in the Garden of Eden. Now, the pickle that I suggest that man got himself into is found in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, where Paul is speaking to the virgin church and saying, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, if I was spoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I found out something about you. You are no longer a virgin. Now, the virgin's test in the Old Testament is to bring the cloth of her virginity, which in my understanding, and I can be wrong, is simply that she has had a menstrual period, signifying she is not pregnant when she comes to her husband, who even on the wedding night anticipates her becoming pregnant because the idea was to raise up children. So she is not carrying somebody else's seed. And Paul says here, your minds are already, and Brother Branham using the same terminology, the mind was open to become pregnant by the word seed of Satan, which is a deception, which is a perversion of the word. And Paul said, you are no longer a chaste virgin. You have been beguiled by the serpent through his subtlety. Your minds are corrupted. So already this woman is a deceived and fallen woman through the doctrine which she has, and therefore she is not acceptable. And I would say this, that I believe here is the starting of the sealed book. Seven long church ages have gone by, and we haven't known the truth from 60 A.D. 7 years is all it took for the church to go haywire. It didn't even take that long. Since that time, the book has been sealed. Therefore, it takes a special act of the Redeemer, which is Christ, to open those seals. And you will notice that in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the people crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, which means they are not willing for the Redeemer in the form of the Holy Spirit to come down and to open and reveal the book. Now you will notice it says, John is saying, don't let any man close the book once it's open. Therefore, a man in heaven opened the book, a man on earth opened it to the people, and the people have the right today to close the book. Now, you see where I'm taking you? One word off and one word on. That's why I preach that there is a passive faith, that if you don't have it, it doesn't much matter about your active faith. You can be right there in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, false prophets, Matthew 24, with a ministry which is truly real, but as false as the devil himself. Now, you'll notice it was back in the garden that this book became starting to be sealed. And he wanted to put forth his hand and take of immortality. It is under the final unsealing, the final redemptive act. Even Brother Branham plays up the place of the Redeemer very strongly in the opening of the seals. Read the breach and the continuing series of the seals. And you will find it is an absolute act of the great, not intercessor, but the mediator who comes in between now. That's why he could say that this is Jesus himself in the form of the Holy Ghost, performing the very works that he did when he was here in flesh, vindicating that he was here now to take a bride out. He said, my ministry is to dress a bride, to get her ready for presentation. And it cannot be done any other way. And everybody is closing up this book. And when you close it up, there is no way you will get to immortality. This is why the whole world burns. It was not God who shut the book. It was not God who opened the book. I'm speaking in the literal sense now of where we have a man up there who could take the hand, taking the book out of the hand. And believe me, it is not God now shutting the book. Is there anybody this morning here that's starting to shut that book? You do. You lost out entirely. That's why it's going to burn. That's why the foolish virgin will be killed. There won't be, in my understanding, there cannot be one person standing here, but becomes cannon fodder, atomic bomb fodder, and we will walk upon the ashes of what is called the wicked. Now, we get in the message this morning, you're going to see some things and understand how that is. But I wanted to share with you, as these thoughts come to me, and I believe my thinking is correct on what I said this morning, and I leave it with you, and the Lord bless you. Only believe. Father, we request your divine grace this morning, especially through guidance in your word, that we may know what we need to know, Lord, not that we are asking for any perfection of thought in our minds as though we had everything so perfectly crystal clear, but that we could and do rely solely upon that which is vindicated, and yet also have that which the prophet said could be broken down and given to us, we might have even a clearer, fuller understanding of these things. For Lord, we know where there is a question, there is an answer, and especially, Lord, we know that according to the hour, this would be the time of the clearest answers of all. And Father, now, therefore, as this is in view, we pray that you hear our prayer and help us through the study of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're looking at number 15 in Satan's Eden. And last Sunday and Wednesday, we were looking at the fact that since there were only four powerful great kingdoms during the world history, at least from that time until the very end, which were Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and Roman, with Christ and his bride in Revelation 19 coming to destroy both Antichrist and the last kingdom, which was now worldwide. That's also according to Daniel's vision. We had to look further than the fundamentalists who limit the revival of the Roman Empire to its original borders, and fail to realize that we are not dealing with a vast territory, but with a city from which all authority and power emanates, and where Satan is ruling and receiving worship. Now that, of course, is Rome. And with its tentacles, it's in every government and economy in the entire world. And we noted carefully that the church system and the Jews were the prime actors in this drama. Now, we'll look at some scripture on that. The Catholic religion is worldwide, and there is no place where it is not. We also noted there is virtually no place where the Jews are not. Now, especially we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 64, I think. I'm not positive now, but we read some scripture on it anyway. And it says here, the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And you'll have, among those nations shalt thou find no ease, neither after the shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and a sore of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God were evening, and at evening time you'll say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart which thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, and so on. Now, that's what it, and then verse 63 started by saying, it shall come to pass that as the Lord has rejoiced over you to do you good. That's for leaving the word, see? And to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you'll be plucked up from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, you can see here then that there's going to be a scattering of Israel predicted and prophesied by Moses in 1451 B.C., and then at the time of the not the diaspora, but the taking away to captivity, 900 years later, this begins to be entirely fulfilled by Israel being taken over in captivity into Babylon, allowed to come back in part, and then they keep on getting scattered and scattered until the time that they turn down the Lord Jesus Christ, and then that's in 70 A.D. when Titus comes in and destroys the city. They are literally scattered around the entire world. So we see the Jews are moving into the entire world arena where they try to maintain their religion. But you will notice here that it says that it will be entirely corrupted. So no matter how the Jews are trying to worship God, it is in a state of corruption. Now, you'll notice also that the church, according to Matthew chapter 13, is in the same position, because it says here, let me go over here, chapter 13. Well, you could start with the 24th verse of parable, setting forth the king of heaven is like to man that sowed good seed in his field. The enemy comes in and corrupts it. And you got to wait till the harvest time when the tares are bundled and the wheat is bundled. The wheat gets put into the garner. The bundles of tares get burnt along with the chaff. And then you'll notice another parable he put forth. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. This is a good one. Which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, if you want to look at Christianity, it was the smallest of all religions. Positively. But it says here, it is going to grow to be a tree that covers the whole world, and birds are always a sign of evil. So you can see there's coming a time when Christianity will literally take over the world, whether the world wants it or not. So now you've got the Jews entirely scattered all over the world, and you've got Christianity all over the world. There's no mistake about that. Okay? With that, we'll go to Daniel, chapter 9, and let me see, 24, I think I got written down here. And it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness and seal up the vision of prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks at the time that Ezra and Nehemiah go in there to restore the temple. It'll be in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, and not for himself. And it tells you after that time, there's going to be a cutting off. And then, of course, there's an indeterminate period of time, which has lasted through roughly 2,000 years. And then you notice it here, it says, but after 62 years, Messiah shall be cut off, and not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, who was that? That was Titus in 70 AD in the Roman Empire. And the end thereof shall be a flood, and the end of the war, desolations are determined. That means until the very end time, there's going to be nothing but wars and desolation. And remember, he's talking particularly to the Jews. And this is going to come by whom? It's going to come by the fourth empire, which scatters them, which is Rome. See? And remember then, the Jews will be scattered to the four corners of the world amongst the Gentiles, and also this Roman Empire, which somehow is able to embrace Christianity because it's a kingdom of heaven, in a rotten, miserable, filthy situation, is going to control the world. Now, and he shall confirm the coming of many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading abomination, make desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So it's letting you know here that there's going to come after, toward the very end time. At the very end time, what has been going on for centuries is going to increase. It's going to be worse than ever. And it definitely will end then in a period of an Antichrist situation with the Jews confirming a covenant. As Brother Branham said, the Jews have got the paper, Rome's got the gold. There will be a covenant. The covenant will be broken. Because remember, the Catholics, which is the Roman people, hate the Jews. And there's nothing they're going to do about it. They were happy. There was nothing done during the war. They're trying to whitewash Pope Pius now by saying he did his best to extricate the Jews. That is a lie. He didn't do it. America had the chance. Roosevelt was warned. He didn't do it. So America's got a strike against it. It will turn on the Jews. And I'm going to tell you something. The present condition of the Jews, according to Paul, and they haven't changed, you're not going to blame the people too much by turning on them. And this is exactly why you've got everybody confused as what the Jews are going to do and what the Protestant, what the Christians are going to do. But it is the Jews have the paper. And they're controlling everything with the paper. Isn't Campo a Jew that came down here with paper? They're all Jews that got the paper. And it's nothing but bonds that aren't worth a plug nickel. And you talk about milking the Gentiles and feeding on their breasts. If they're not doing it, I'm going to ask you who's doing it. I could be a Jew baiter in 15 seconds because I've studied much since I was a kid. Old Alfalfa, Bill Murray, wasn't he governor of Oklahoma? Didn't he say if the people ever found out about the Jews in America, what Hitler did would look like a Sunday school picnic? Why do you think the whole world is going to come against the Jews? Because they're everywhere and they got the paper. And someone's going to be a scapegoat. And the Jews will be the scapegoat. You can see it coming. Now, let's go to Matthew 24. That's why you got to be very careful about the Jew. You just leave him plumb alone to God. He's got the paper. Praise the Lord, he's got the paper. We're getting out of here because of it, so thank God for the paper. All right, in Matthew 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him and showed him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said, "See ye not all these things? Verily say unto you, there shall not be left one stone here upon another that shall not be thrown down." As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and when shall be the sign of thy presence and the end of the world?" There's three things. When's the temple going to be thrown down? What's the sign of your presence? They must have understood Luke 17. The day's repeating. And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Many anointed ones will come. You'll hear wars and rumors of wars, and be not troubled. These things must come to pass. The end is not yet. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and that with place these beginning of sorrows. Then shall it lead you up to be afflicted and to kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And you know that's happened to the Jews already. It's going to even happen more. "Then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another, and many false prophets arise, deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, love many shall wax cold." Now notice that. Iniquity and love, put them hand in hand, they can't go together. And you're going to have a lot of people thinking their iniquity is love, like they always do. We'll talk about that. "But you shall, but he that endures to the end, shall the saints shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto nations. All nations, then shall the end come." Now, when you see, therefore, ye therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Who shall let him understand? And let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down, take anything out of the house. Neither let him which in the field turn back to take his clothes, one of them with our child, then to give suck in those days and pray and so on and so forth. Now, there's a twofold fulfillment in there. Because this happened under Titus and is yet to happen again, because of the situation that is coming up in the Great Tribulation. I just wanted to let you know, and what I'm letting you know here is, that do not be misled when you are considering the revival of the Roman Empire, which died and became the Holy Roman Empire, and which has come back in its full power under America through the Marshall Plan and the other plans, where America has the only true original blueprint for the world community of people. We are 50 states with, I suppose, one more coming up, and heaven knows, maybe a couple more on top of it. But because of the language situation here in the United States, we have 50 states under one head, which we call a republic under God, which is exactly what the church is trying to replicate over the world, and we have built the image to it. And we have embraced Catholicism, and we are over 50% Catholics today. And there is no use trying to send a missionary anywhere. There is no use trying to do one thing about Rome. We simply give Rome everything. We have done it by a free moral agency of a political ticket. And now you will begin to see from this point on that Rome will begin to rise up, and I am happy for her. For the government's now trying to legislate that she must have homosexuals in the pulpit and everything else. And if the Protestants haven't got enough brains to do something about it, then at least thank God for the Roman Catholics. I still say they're only converts to this message, that it really worked out in a real rapid period of time, and have had no problem with doctrine, the Roman Catholics. Because how can they have a doctrine when they're preached to in Latin and everything else, and a little bit of catechism? You get a little catechism in school, they say, give us a child until he's 4 years of age, at least for maybe up till seven, he'll be a Catholic all his life. That's not necessarily true. Because the Catholic little kids are like Protestant little kids. They soon find there's a whole lot of things that are a whole lot happier and a whole lot more fun than a catechism. human nature. So, we thank God the way things are going. Jews are everywhere. They're going back to the homeland. See? And remember, that little seed planted way back there in the church was a little seed. Says you're going to take it all over. They got the gold. And when you're starving, let me tell you, your prayers don't mean too much. You know how Stalin got the little kids to believe there's no God? He had the kids in school pray for cookies and candies and fruit and things. And God didn't answer, so they prayed to Stalin. The teachers came in with baskets and baskets. See, Stalin answers your prayer. But God can't. Who needs God? We need Stalin. We need communism. We need a way to feed the people. And the church will go socialistic. It can't help it. Capitalism fails. But they still need a means of exchange. They need a currency. And isn't it strange that gold would be the currency? We're going to walk on it in heaven. Not that gold. No, I don't want a bit of it. You've had it. I want the transparent stuff. All right, so the story I'm trying to get across is this. The Catholic Church is everywhere. The Jews are everywhere. So therefore, Christianity, which heads up in the Roman Catholic Church, not Protestant, the daughters go back to the harlot, are everywhere. Now, that's what we're trying to show you. Now, the Jews rejected Messiah, who will appear to them in a sign and bring in the 144,000 before he appears bodily. Because he appeared bodily. So he can't appear bodily now. He has to appear in a symbol, as Brother Branham told us. Now then, we have not seen him. So he appears to us in a symbol. Next, there it is right there. Next, he will appear in his own physical body. When that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the altogether lovely, the Rose of Sharon, the Prince of Peace, and all of it. You'll see the totality. So that's what I want you to get to understand in what we're dealing with as Satan takes over a headship and becomes worship. Now, God is centralizing Israel in the homeland at this point, and all the churches are coming together into one vast system under Rome. See? For those who still want to think that the old Roman Empire, instead of Roman religion, is taking over, what will they do with Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation 17 and 18? See, it's not that at all. Because the Roman Empire had its bounds. So what are they going to go to next? They're going to go to what they've always been howling about, which is Euromart. And out of the Euromart is going to come a strong dictator. That's as screwy as the people who hate the Jews. And they say what the Jews are doing, they're communists. And if you don't believe it, ask Joe Raskovy. And the funny thing is, right now the Hungarians are looking very much askance at the Jews who have run everything. Remember, Joe told you, when he wanted to go back to Hungary, he's afraid of his life. And he finally asked a Jew. And the Jew said, just tell me one thing, Joe. Did you ever hurt a Jew? No, I never hurt no Jew. Did you ever kill a Jew? No, before God, I loved the Jews. My father would risk his life taking water and food to the Jews in the boxcars going through Hungary. The old man never got shot either. They'd offer him watches. He said, no, I love you as a people. I think Joe's got Jewish blood in him. And I don't mean that carelessly. You know, his name was Greenberg before his parents moved from Germany. It could be something that doesn't discredit him one bit. I'm just telling you, there's a love in Joe's heart for the Jews. He loves the Jews. He mixes with them. He can beat them, too, at their own game. You see, I love that old boy, not because he's Hungarian, because Joe's got a sense of humor, which is out of this world. Like, he can tell a story like hardly any living man can. But anyway, he said, I love the Jews. Joe, go back to Hungary. Nobody gonna hurt you. He went to Hungary and even turned down the mayor's invitation to dinner. and honor because he didn't have the time. He can go any time he wants. Now, this idea, then, is that the Jews, believing in one God, are going to cause the people to turn to communism under the dominion of the powers that be in Europe and even in America. When they have become atheists, which they will under communism, then the Jews will missionary them, or, as you know the term, evangelize them and turn them to one God. Now, do you see where fundamental all this crap is? And pardon the expression, but that's what it is. It's sewage. It's the fecal matter of a tormented mind. Now, I'm telling you, this is what the churches believe. And there are isms everywhere in it. They do not recognize that they will literally, the world churches will come together and institutionalize religion over everything, and everybody will have to bow down. But remember this, and remember it flat. There are those that will give their honor and glory to the beast for only 1 hour, then they will burn her flesh. So you know it's going to be a system based upon manpower. It's the old system, where the 200,000 spirits were loosed at the river Euphrates that killed the Jews under Hitler and Stalin. And now spirits are loosed right now to destroy anybody and everybody that comes against them. Now you tell me one way, one reason why the Roman Catholic Church or the Protestants are going to worry too much over the Arabs if they don't turn and come under the beautiful, world sweet government of the fine people who want to help you. But you must help yourself by taking the mark in the hand, and first the mark in the forehead, which means you must believe that we have something you don't got. And you must subscribe and work for it. You think the world believes that? They don't believe that. You know something? They're not supposed to believe it. We're supposed to believe it. By vindication. Read Revelation 13. And you read it. Comes right out of America. Comes right in this country that says a free voice and a free religion. It started as a lamb and ends as a dragon. It starts with legislation and ends with a sword. And if you don't believe that, try and get justice in the courts. You can't do it. I wonder if you people are ready for what's coming. Only one way to get strength is by the Word, because that's the only place the strength is. Don't think God is in His church. God ain't in no church. God's in His Word. Because Rhema and Logos are the same thing. And don't try to make the presence a minor. I was already told, as I've been telling you for years, if these preachers and churches believe what I teach, then I'm wrong. I'm quitting tomorrow. I'm going to junk what I believe and start over and search what Brother Branham said. But they don't believe what I believe. Oh, they said the presence, that's just another doctrine like a serpent seed. And now a fellow that still goes to big fat church north of us here. I don't know what they teach, but they don't teach truth. He said, well, he said, we don't major on a minor. Now, come on. Brother Branham said, God did not only go down into Egypt with Moses in manifesting signs and wonders, but he appeared on Mount Sinai in the pillar of fire, even so today, and that is his picture. A minor? A minor? Listen to me. That's the farthest you've got. I'm meeting you at the white throne now, not tomorrow. And I will not have one good word to say for you. You say, how do you know you're going to make it? I'm going to make it. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. Satan will finally achieve what he set out to achieve. And he even tried to get Jesus to help him in Matthew 4, which is fall down and worship me, become my intercessor, become the intermediator. Become the one that brings me all these people. Isn't that exactly what the Bible says would happen? That Christianity will bring everybody to Jesus, to Satan? The little seed planted grows to be a mighty tree. But where did it start? It started in organized Rome. Having failed the way Apostle Paul warned them, you will have another Jesus, you will have another gospel, you will have another spirit. So they got a threefold trinity. And they got their own catechisms. Like Israel took their Talmud. And you know what spirit they got? They got the spirit of Satan. Oh, people have an idea that Satan isn't a loose character that can run around. They say, well, you know, when the bride goes up, Satan comes down and he incarnates himself in the Antichrist. Sure, he does. That's true. But remember, the Bible also says in the book of Job, when all the sons of God came together, all those stars, the morning stars rejoicing, Satan came pitter-pattering in. And God says, well, what have you been doing? Oh, he said, I've been wandering up and down on the earth. You think he's not here? You think he's not, his spirit's not in the church? I brought you my thought this morning on the open book. It needed a redeemer. I want to ask you, who shut that book? God didn't shut the book. Not in my understanding. Then, because then God has to justify himself by having a redeemer stand for him. Don't ever get that idea. We need a redeemer. Now listen. We know we are. Now we carefully note where we were reading with Brother Branham in 2 Thessalonians. And was the verses in there of that spirit of Antichrist. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means. Said there's got to come a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, opposed and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so as he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, in the opening of the first seal, we saw twins. We saw the Spirit of God come down at Pentecost. We saw the spirit of Satan come down, because John said, even now the spirit of Antichrist is here, and that spirit is found to be opposite or against the word. Because that's what John said. And he said, they came amongst us, they went from us because they weren't of us. They were a mess. Right there, the spirit of Antichrist was in the church just the same as the spirit of Christ gets in the true believer in the church. Now, who are you going to listen to? Now, the point is, at the end time, the two spirits are out here and there's confrontation. But when you look down the road at incarnation, that's a different thing. Incarnation cannot take place until the bride is out of here. So incarnation is an actual, literal being, spirit being. One is God coming in a man, the other is Satan coming in a man. That's where your son of perdition is. And your son of perdition, before Satan actually entered Satan, I beg your pardon, before Satan actually entered Judas, Judas as a son of perdition, not the man of sin, was positively doing everything anybody else could do by the power of God. You couldn't tell him apart from the real McCoy, which is Peter, James, John, and the rest of them. You couldn't tell him apart. But after the incarnation, he couldn't do anything except betray God and become a killer and a murderer. So you can see where the church is. The church is in the realm and the throes of the son of perdition, but not the man of sin. The son of perdition has been revealed, and consequently the man of sin is revealed. Because you know exactly what's happening. Now this takes place at the time of the descent of that one that came down. So you understand what I've been talking about. Now under the seventh seal of Revelation 10:1-7, when that one comes down. And remember, he came down even before then in 1933. But the coming and the going is on the grounds of coming more and more into the church and more into manifestation. Not simply someone turning here and turning there and appearing and reappearing. That's not it. The one that came down. Listen, that cloud up there is not in the stratosphere. It's up only so many miles. I don't know if that's stratosphere or not, but I'm trying to get you the idea. It's not up there where the sun and the moon and the stars are. It's still a part of this earth because you can see it. So therefore, that which you see is when Revelation 10 comes into being. More and more in the church when he comes down, and at that point, it's headship. But there's something else these other people are not teaching we teach here, because they're not teaching Brother Branham is teaching. I'm not saying that to get your good favor. Look, you can, I'll be out of here shortly whether you know it or not or believe it. I'm intending to cut off more and more of my time because I simply am not able to do it. So I try to cover as much ground as I can. Now listen, Revelation 10:1-7 is Ephesians 1:17. It's the Spirit that comes in revealing. And what does he do? He reveals. And the revelation is himself, basically. And that is the presence. I am here revealing myself. And so the preacher said, oh, I covered that. In an hour and a half. And the other preacher said, well, that's major, not a minor. You know something? If my wife pulled that on me, I would get the naughtiest, thorniest, meanest club I could and bash her stinking brains out. As the grossest insult. Now you listen to me. Why do you think he's going to destroy? Because Satan's already got him. Major on a minor. That's exactly right. The word is a minor to the Pentecostals. The word is a minor to the Catholics. They've never had it. The word is a minor to the Protestants. They gave up years ago. They've settled for Billy Graham. They can't prove anything. It's exactly what the Mohammedans told him in Paris Reedhead. We can produce just as much psychology as you can. And there's a certain branch of Hindus. I can personally testify to of men, friends of mine. Back in the days when I thought tongues was an evidence, it sure was, but it wasn't evidence of the Holy Ghost. They went over to India. And they saw such love. They said, we don't have anything. And became Hindus at heart. So come on, smarten up, people. Smarten up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't got all year. Brother Branham was revealing what the Antichrist really was. Even as he revealed Christ in the Word, so he revealed Antichrist out of the Word. The two spirits in Revelation chapter 6 and continuing through. The revelation of Antichrist in flesh is yet to come, even as the Holy Spirit will yet be revealed in flesh. Do you know that's true? And in both cases, it will be an incarnation. As the Spirit in our midst goes up to be incarnated, Satan comes down to be incarnated. In the meantime, they are still here, just in the form they wish to be in order to lead whatever they are in control of into a perfect revelation and fellowship, not a perfect revelation of the Satan, but a fellowship is what you are into with Satan. The fellowship, he doesn't tip his hand who he is, but God tipped his hand who he was. It was there in the book of Deuteronomy. He told you how he would act. There's where perfect faith lies. And that's a minor. Well, I can agree it's a minor in this respect. It's a minor insofar that we will wonder when we see him face to face in human flesh and all the things he has for us. It'll be a minor in that respect. You know why? Because it's just a part of the growth of the real seed. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have this part, you aren't going to get the rest. And if you call this just a minor, that's the one that reveals serpent seed. That's the one that showed you what it is to be false and to be anointed. That's the goose that lays the golden egg. Pardon the expression. But are you going to be stupid like the guy in Aesop's fable who thought he'd get a great big lump of gold if he killed the goose? And you know what these people are doing? They're crucifying themselves, the Son of God, not Son of Man. Oh no, the Son of Man tricked them, deceived them completely. Because they saw and they said, that's got to be God. But they said, oh, he's only a minor. Well, it's too bad, but that's their business. We're back to page 6. After about, 22 hours? Not bad. That's pretty good going. Because this is all Bible. This is for Brother Branham. This is the Bible for you and me. that deceitfulness of the church today. Paragraph 20. See, the son of perdition, the devil. He doesn't call him the man of sin. Because he's not that. But he is, but he's not. You know what I mean? He's coming to the incarnation, which is a reincarnation. He's right now, he's in that Judas ministry that raises the dead and heals the sick all by the power of God. There is no power but of God, so therefore what power does Satan use? He uses God's power. And so do you and I. Listen to me, so whether we live or die, we live or die unto the Lord because it's God's power. The people worshiping Satan in this day, thinking they're worshiping God, but they're worshiping him, Satan, through a creed. That's the church has the creed. A man-made denomination, creeds, and creeds have brought the people right down to the greatest deception that the world has ever known. No matter how much the word of God promised for this day is preached and vindicated, they still won't believe it. They won't believe it. Now, what are you going to do with the Branhamites that make a major into a minor? Oh, I know people think I'm a fighter, feistian, mean, and everything else. My name is dirt and filth about every place in the universe. That's all right. I don't mind. What's mine is my business. What theirs, I'm not responsible for. And I'm responsible for you people, you that hear my voice. But remember one thing. I will meet you. I'm meeting you now. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried as Brother Branham was. How serious are we? Are we also like those people who say, I believe it, but it's just a minor? Just a minor, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us? What are they talking about? You know what they're talking about? They're still thinking it's a baptism with the Holy Ghost instead of the person. I can't understand their folly, but it's not my job. Then why? We wonder why. Why won't they believe it? Why won't they believe there'll be an actual worshiping of Satan? A man of sin, an incarnation. When God said he would do a certain thing, and he does it, and when God says also concerning this ministry of vindication, Why don't they believe it? He still does what he said he would do. And they still turn their backs to it and turn away from it. Just as Eve knew that what God said God would do, but she turned her back on it to listen to what Satan had to say. Just remember, in all other ages, it's always been the same thing. In every age, it's always been the Satan tries to pervert the word, that word to them, making them to see some other age. Well, let's go back to Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become of one of us to know good and evil. Now, that's bad. That's not good. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, what was available to Adam and Eve at that time? Immortality. And you can't deny it because there it is. But they can't have it in that condition because now they blew it. Now, let's just take a look at something here because I don't know where I'm going to fit my notes in, and I'm going to fit them in so I get them to our attention. What I want to do here. Now, over here in the book of Genesis, we're still there. Satan comes to Eve. That's the spirit of Satan. You could call it an incarnation. I believe that would stand right up with Satan got in that beast without a doubt. And the serpent said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden. Now that's exactly true. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, you'll not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw the tree was good for food and pleasant in the eyes, and tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof to eat, and gave her husband also with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both opened. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of God, and so on. Now, what I just want to look at here, I want to bring up a question. What did Eve know about the word death? There was no death in the land. The plants that Brother Brown speaks of in a few pages over from here, that the animals ate, they never died. They continue to grow. And I don't believe that the animals are men and women, Adam and Eve, when they ate, defecated. I believe the body energy consumed everything they ate, and there was nothing left over that went in the mouth and then passed out through the draft. Everything was in perfect harmony, perfect shape. So I want to ask you a question. How could she even discuss the word death? There wasn't any death. How would you like to be transported back to 300 years back and then somebody say, well, if you don't listen to me, I won't give you a television set. What's a television set? Well, you know, it's a thing that takes pictures out of the air that comes by vibrations. Based on electrical impulse. What's electrical impulse? Picture in the air. What did Eve know about death? I want to ask you a question. Well, I'll tell you what she knew about death. She knew this, that she was in a spirit body with her husband before she was ever in a physical body. So she knew you leave this physical body and go back to what you were. Now, why am I saying this? Because I want to let you know something. I want you to know what I've been preaching all these years is 100% with the Apostle Paul. If there is no resurrection, even with Christ in this life, we are of all men most miserable. You say, what is bad to going back to that body that they are in a spirit form? Because that is not the ultimate of God. Let me tell you something. There's something wrong with this. Radically wrong. Brother Branham, I looked for it, and I only found it last night without even looking for it. It's in God of This Evil Age, where Brother Branham says that I was in Christ, speaking of ourselves. I was in Christ, he said, paying for my own sins. I was in him waiting to be manifested for this hour. All right, we did not know what lay back in there. Bypassing the theophonic form. But if we were truly in Christ and we were in God in the beginning, you could not and I could not be in the shape we're in today. Now, I'm not going to criticize and say we haven't got anything. There's just something wrong with this, with our revelation. Because we should be just like those people with Brother Branham, who were beautiful, 90-year-old woman, like a 16-year-old girl in all her glory. But she couldn't eat, she couldn't drink, she couldn't till the soil. She just stood there. And she said, we're resting. The only gladness we have being separated from our body is that we know we're going to go back to it. Now that lets us know something that I've been preaching for years and I'm not grasping myself. Maybe I've got to experience it first. I'm not going to fault myself, and I'm not going to fault you. All I'm trying to do is to teach you something here. And to teach myself that this resurrection is the greatest thing that ever has been or will be. And when we make it, everything else is there for us. And if we don't make it, that's why Brother Branham thinks it. Don't miss it. Like a man fainting in his emotions concerning the subject. Now, let's look at this a little further. This devil came to her and he said, now, you know, he said, you're going to know good from evil. Now, let me read you something from the Hebrew. The word evil comes from the word ra in his 7451 in strong concordance, which is a number that you can take with other students who use strong concordance as a basis, and look what they have found as a matter of research. It's R-A-H, Ra. And it comes from 7489 root, which is Ra-ah, which I will talk about shortly. But in the meantime, it means bad, evil, naturally or morally, adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, displeasure, distress, evil, evil favoredness, evil favored man, evil thing, exceedingly great, grief, harm, heavy, hurt, hurtful, ill, ill favored, marked, mischief, mischievous, misery, not, N-A-U-G-H-T, bring to nothing, noisome, not pleasing, doesn't please, sad, sore, sadly, that means sad and sadly, sore, sorrow, trouble, vex, wicked, wickedly, wickedness, wicked one, worse, worst, wretchedness, wrong. Where do you find that in the Garden of Eden? Could the woman have really known what this meant? Where was any briar on the rose bush? I'm sure she didn't eat potatoes. I know she didn't. She ate fruit. And the fruit tree yielded. Said, here, come and get me. And as she felt too lazy, which she would never feel lazy, she'd say, drop in my hand, would drop in her hand. Because Brother Branham said, all you had to do is say, tree move here and tree move there. So, what about it? Strange, isn't it? Now, it comes from the words, the root word 7489, which is ra'ah, a primary principal root, means to spoil. So, therefore, this thing of evil literally tells you the possibility and power of something happening to what is really good, and it doesn't function that way anymore. Something sets in. Spoil, literally by breaking to pieces, figuratively, to make, to be good for nothing. Physically, socially, or morally, afflict. Now watch, listen carefully. You ready to turn over? I got just right time. Now listen, associate selves by mistake for 7462, which I'll read you shortly. Afflict, displease, be, bring, or do evil, doer of evil, entreat. That's in the wrong way. Now, to show self-friendly by mistake for 7462. Now, you got two things here in this word bad, evil, you'll know, and you will make mistakes in it. Now, listen. To do harm, do hurt, behave self, that'd be wrong way, illy, indeed, do mischief, punish, steal, vex, do wicked, be worse. You can turn over if you want to turn it over. Go ahead. Is it? All right. Here is your number, 7462, which is the word good. So now you mistake evil for good. This is the bad part of bad. This is the tough part of evil. You follow me? He said to her, I'm going to take your mind over, and everything's going to be just great. Everything was great. Now listen. The word ra'ah. Notice how they sound alike? A primary root, a principal root, to tend the flock, that is to pasture it. Intransitive, to graze, or literally figurative. Generally, to rule. By extension, to associate as a friend. Companion, keep company with. Also means devour, eat up, evil entreat, feed. Now notice how you're getting the uses in there, which I contend should not even be in there. Make friendship with herdmen keep. What I'm trying to show you here is what happened in the Garden of Eden. She was sold a bill of goods. And that bill of goods was where Satan had her too deceived to the extent that she could not possibly discern. Because she took his word, and from that minute on, the discernment was gone. She could not tell what really was right as pertaining to the power of God, which was set in order with her and her husband over it. And that's where the church went. The church lost its headship through the headship of the word. And now, The first thing you'll see from the Garden of Eden, that Cain couldn't tell the difference. He was completely blinded. Now listen, Abel could tell the difference. But now he was on the spot because nature had conspired against him. And he must now take the brunt of all of this out here that is under the thraldom of Satan. It's a wrong power. It's a wrong understanding of the true power and the true understanding. That's why exactly Satan's doing what he's doing in confusing the church today, that they're worshiping God and they're not worshiping God. Their association, therefore, is not with God, it is with Satan. They are not in the pastures of God, they're in the pastures of Satan. But they think they're there. You understand where it comes from? It comes right from the original Hebrew. Now, the same people today think they're going to be immortal. They say, we're God's children. We spoke in tongues. We are God's children. And they say, being God's children, look at our lives are changed. What has that got to do with it? What has your changed life got to do with it? You're telling me that you were a hog and now you're a sheep. You're nuts. You were a sheep gone astray. And a sheep gone astray can do every dirty thing a wolf or a dog or a hog or a sow can do. So don't talk to me about your morals and how you changed. Let's go to 1 John and talk about it. I'm not saying there's no morals. Don't get me wrong and go out of here quoting me. I'm going to slap you right down now. Listen to it. Let's get the understanding here. This is the message then we've heard of him, says John in 1 John. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if you came out of him, there's a speck of you that holds true to that. Because the seed is sown, and it goes through 1,000 stages maybe. But at the end, it will come back to being the exact seed that was sown. And if you're a seed of God to begin with, it's not your morals and those things that count. It's, are you a seed of God? Now let's go further and find out if I'm telling the truth, a bunch of hogwash. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now here's where your actions come in basic. You've been fooled on good and evil. You're still in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't tell where you're from or where you're going and where your associations are. I brought that out in pedigree. Begotten his lineage in pedigree. Now, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Now, it tells you there all about it. That if you are in him, and recognized in him, and full of the Holy Ghost, and have the Word of God, you will be in fellowship, you'll walk in the light. And let me tell you something, brother, sister. If you weren't doing some sin, what would you need the blood for? If any man says he doesn't sin, he's a liar. What do you think you got an intercessor for? Not some priest, not some church, but Jesus Christ the righteous. Now this is the end time where we know good from evil. This is the end time of discernment. We've been exercised to where we understand. And the understanding is this, if you are not one with that word, I don't care what you practice. But if you are one of the Word, you know what you begin to do? You begin to bring come under your body and hold your body right there and deny the lust of the flesh, the pride of life and the lust of the eye and all those things that belong out there with the devil and a wrong power. They've taken religion out of the schools and prayer out of the schools. And then they brought sex in under Calderon. Nothing but a cheap A-W-H-O-R-E. That's all she is. In spite of her education, she's even worse than that. If I was a scum bum scuzz, I would sooner sleep with a prostitute that had AIDS than that woman. That's how filthy she is, because she brought it into the schools. Till the kids went home and practiced their homework. Why? Because your American politicians decided the church, Christianity, kept out in arm's length. The kids can't pray. They can't do a thing except enter into sin. They got the kids believing now good is evil. Evil is good. I told you how this fellow, he calls himself Kari. You know, the Red October hunt. The hunt for Red October, I guess, as they call it. He smokes. He said, I can't smoke, but the government is going to protect the homosexual that brings AIDS and death to the community. I never killed a man by smoking yet. Man shouldn't smoke. But who brought this on the country? Who brought it? The churches. The churches. A judge said many years ago, when he was deciding divorce cases, he said, what are you doing here in my court? The church should be talking to you. What are all these government programs for trying to help the needy people? Because the church is let down. You've got a perfect example of the Garden of Eden. Satan came right in. And he said, now, I'm going to tell you what. He said, everything is perfect for you right now. But he said, I want to make you real smart. You'll know good and evil. What does that mean? He said, don't you understand there's a negative and a positive? You'll know all about it. What is good anyway? Well, I really don't know. Well, you see, you don't know anything, do you? Now, when I get in there, you'll know good and evil. And she was a sucker. Because Satan already knew. He knew what it was to take the things of God and pervert them. He knew what it was to take the word of God and pervert it. And that's exactly what you're looking at today. And when we get back to the tree of life, there isn't any perversion. There's a knowledge of the Son of God, of the faith. Perfection has come. And they're the only people ready to walk to the tree of life. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. You don't do that because you were a nice guy. And you don't do it because you lived holy. And you don't do it because you refrained from women or from men. And you didn't smoke and you didn't drink and you didn't curse. You didn't lie. You didn't steal. You don't do it because of those things. Let me tell you flat. You do it for one reason only. Because you were a part of him. And when he appeared, you knew you were a part. And you understand the difference between words, between the, what I'm trying to show you here, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She learned how to take a power and use it wrong. As Brother Branham said, they would have come to sex. You bet your sweet life they would have come to it. Now it's destroying the world, homosexuals and a whole bunch. Whoops, let me read you something. I keep it where the good things are, which are $100 bills. I like to kid people. Sometimes I'm not kidding. Here's a study on what's taking place in the university. And here's what the university found, New England Journal of Medicine. They sent women gynecologists to student centers at the universities. Now, they're sexually active, and they do use condoms. At least some of them do. But they're not. These 16% are total failures, and how many are using them in colleges? All right, listen. Here's what you find amongst women. These women in college today have 2 to 5 partners total. They were 40% in 1975. In 1986, 42% of all college women have sex with 2 to 5 partners. In 1989, it was 52%. 6 or more is 22 in 75. 20% had 6 or more in 1986. 21 in 1989. And I read you an article showing you by the law of mathematics that every time you have sex outside of marriage, and even now when you have it for the first time in marriage, you have actually had sex with really, I think, over close to 500,000 people because it's spread all around. Here's the figures. But you see, we can change. We've got good and evil. Sex is still okay out of wedlock. Oh, you just take precautions. Do they? Now, look it. Put your church in the picture. I'm trying to tell you, she's a woman. How many partners has the church been having sex with? Look at your picture and get the understanding. We're at the end of time, brother, sister. Oh, yeah. God's pasture, they think they're in. But you're the Bible, I just read it to you. A man planted a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds in all plants. It's called the kingdom of heaven on earth at this period. And it covers the whole earth, and the beasts come under it, and the foul birds rest in it. And the Bible says that the last day church, which is headed up by Rome and all the Protestants and all the whole world, is a place, a filthy cage of filthy birds. But they all say, isn't this great? And I told you years ago how Norman Grubb, one of the truly great, recognized, outstanding Christians of the 20th century, positively wrote, and he said, the ecumenical move is the greatest move in 2,000 years for the glory of God. The church is coming together. Norman Grubb was a brilliant man appearing before brilliant people. I want to ask you one question. Do you think Norman Grubb could compete with Satan for being brilliant? You think maybe he didn't leave the door wide open for Satan? Something's wrong somewhere, because this man was on the scene at that time. And God was with him. And it wasn't done in a corner. You say, well, just a minute now. There ought to have been some great big thing. What great thing was there at the time of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ? And they turned it down there, didn't they? How far outside of the borders did it go? It didn't go at all. Because nobody wanted it. And yet Paul took it almost plumb around the world. And William Branham went around 7 times. Come on, brother, sister. If you don't know and can't understand that Brother Branham unveiled the Antichrist system and the true church, and he unveiled Satan, and he unveiled Christ, and he put the two as twins and showed just what was going on, then I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just up here letting off steam, and you're being nice. Well, you're being naturally stupid, but you're nice about it. It's in here. It's here today. And yet people are unconcerned about it. But you know what the Bible says? Come suddenly. He said, look, when Jesus came, see, Satan was in that bunch of Jewish teachers and rabbis and priests telling them to keep the law of Moses, when the very word said that in that day the Son of Man would be revealed. The very word said it. But they didn't know when the word was fulfilled that said it. And Jesus came and he said, I've been anointed to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick, and to take the captive out. And they said, hey, that's a cute kid that said that. Do you know, they tell me he never had an instructor in either the Hebrew or the Aramaic. Where do you think that kid got that? That's all it was. Oh, they said, those are gracious words. Isn't he nice? Jesus said to that same bunch, you are of your father the devil. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed. You came from his loins. You can prove it, and I know it, and I can prove it for you if you can't. But he said, I want you to know something. Abraham had a son by Hagar. Came from his loins too. And all Abraham's seed are not Abraham's children. You know why? Because Abraham had a part of him missing, like Adam. He was separated. And Hagar wasn't a part of it. Sarah was. That's why Isaac had to come by Sarah. And he said, you're the father of the devil. See? The word at that hour said that he would reveal himself. That didn't mean a thing to them. Just as long as they would be religious and stay on the law of Moses, that's all they wanted. He was trying to tell them,
See?
You try to tell them, now listen, this word is exactly right. And what was their answer? The word's exactly right, but you're not the right man. This is not the hour. And today Israel is still looking for Messiah. Israel is a Christian nation. Because the word Christos is Messiah, the anointed one. They don't even know it. But it's not Christian like we are. We understand that. This isn't the right person. This is not that person. See how deceiving is? That is that real day of deception. That's what we're talking about. That's what the devil said to Eve. Hey, look. What is all this stuff about dying? Don't you know the tree of life stands right there? How are you going to die with the tree of life standing there? And people are baptized, anointed with the Holy Ghost, and think it's the true baptism. They say, ha, listen, how could I not be one of them? I got the tree of life. Fool, just exactly. And you know what they're doing? They have turned the anointing into bad. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, did we not cast out devils and prophesy in thy name and do this and that? He said, no doubt about it, but I never knew you. Depart from you that work iniquity. Now do you see where we stand with this word and why I preach it, the word within the framework of the word? One day God's going to dynamize this word or my name ain't veiled. I'm going plumb to hell, and I can tell you that. Because time after time, it gets clearer and clearer and more deliberately real and understanding. God's got to do something about his word. If he doesn't do it, he's going to do about somebody. I can tell you that. If Bill Branham does not come back from the dead, somebody's going to come back from the dead. You bet your sweet life. You better believe it. Because something's going to happen. Too much has happened already. Now he said that is that real day of deception. And what is the real deception? When God uses a man. Because God has to use a man. God has to use a man. And they turned that person down. They said, you're not that person. You know something? They said, William Branham wasn't that person. William Branham fooled the whole bunch by the very words of Almighty God. The word of God said, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message foreruns the second. And that's true. William Branham himself as a person did not really forerun. And so the word comes out, and I admit I said it, and I know it's still true. It could be John Doe or Bill Buck or somebody else. The actual fact of the matter is, it is not the person that foreruns, but it is the message. Now the next question comes, by whom comes the message? That lets the cat out of the bag. And then the person says, well, you see, it could have been somebody else. Now you think the same about me up here. I'll be honest with you, don't you? You say, well, Brother Bay, you know, you didn't have to bring this message. Somebody else would. I'm going to tell you something to your faces. You never would have got it because God ordained me. If he didn't, why am I doing it? I was going to stumble some of you. You asked for it, though, because I've heard your whisperings. I'm not bitter about it. I'm just telling you. Why am I someplace else? You think God is so stupid he can't control his program, that God cannot control what he wants, that God cannot control his church? Then you sit there and you think you got it all? Listen, I've got a few bucks here. Do you like money? I write you a check, at least $50,000. It won't bounce. Not boasting. Here's the microphone. Stand up here now and tell these people in 3.5 hours. I'll give you 6 hours. I'll sit here for 8 hours. And you tell them 1/2 what I've told you. I'm not boasting. I'm not mad at you or anything else. I'm just telling you, look, hey, you either believe in God around here or you don't believe in God. You believe in sovereignty, don't believe in sovereignty. Either major on a minor or you major on a major. Now, I've never sold you down the river yet, and I'm not going to sell you in the river. But no, you're not going to sell me either. I'm ordained. I was ordained right in this pulpit, in this place, and I bring that word. Aha, I rocked you, didn't I? Because you think anybody could bring it. Then God is a fool. Because he lied. That's true. Hate to hurt you. But I'm telling you the truth. I didn't ask to bring this. I never asked to bring my thoughts sitting there. I don't ask to bring any thoughts here. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have any. But I look at that word and I know what a prophet said. And he's the one that told us they were in a spirit form. Then God put them in the physical. And remember this, he also said, there'll come a day when you'll realize the day you thought you were saved, you weren't saved. You always were saved. You'll realize, he said, positively, you didn't even do it. How could a seed of God sin? What was it? Fooled into it. Trapped into it. Let me say something about you. You remember, Brother Branham said, I was meant to be in this pulpit. You meant to be in those pews. This morning, you were meant to be here to hear this word. You were meant to sit here and understand some things you never understood before. You were meant to have your passive faith built up, which means I'm putting everything back on God, knowing I'm a part of Him. That's where we're going. If you can't have that confidence in me, you're never going to get off the ground. You're going to start looking for somebody else. And when you do, and you start hearing their tapes, and I hear some people's tapes, I'll sure give you permission to hear. And I'll give permission to hear anybody's tape. Just don't come and ask me questions that's raised on those tapes. I have enough problems of my own. Now, you haven't done it, but I'm just saying it. Listen, let's understand this. They said to Brother Branham, he is not the man. And they're going to say to you, and if they haven't said to you, you are not the people, then let me tell you something. It's got to happen to you, or there's something wrong with you. I can't go anywhere and raise my voice hardly any place. They'll look at me and say, who do you think you are? Well, I'm not Jesus Christ, and I'm not the devil. I'm a son of God, and I know I am. Well, I tell you what, you don't look like it. I never said it did. He said, well, you don't even act like it. Never said it did. She'd gone astray. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never get past the fact that Adam was that original first son of Almighty God, made in human flesh to bring a race of God people on this earth by flesh. I'm not talking of Jesus now. I'm talking about Adam. Now, are you going to tell me that Adam, who sold the human race into bondage, was not a son of God? You're going to tell me he is not today a son of God? Are you going to say there's one thing I know Adam won't be there? See, listen, your thinking just can't get in the way, brother, sister. Better not get in the way. You got to get to the place where a tree has a single seed or a single root. Something's wrong. See? That's what Eve let the cat out of the bag. Like say, she opened Pandora's box. You can't do it. Jesus was that great one. Now, every single son comes down in like order. Now, it says here, Brother Branham said, it has been and now is. Satan establishes the kingdom on earth. This is exactly why he's doing it, for he wants to establish his own kingdom as a businessman that is not a Christian. He'll work every scheme he can to make you see something the wrong way. If he has got a purpose and a personal gain in making you do that, making you see it that way, he'll show you everything he can to keep you off the truth of it, because he's got a feeling only for himself. No matter how much he lies and cheats and whatever more, he's got personal gain. That is why Satan has done this, and he's worked through the ministry to do it. And he has worked through the ministry to do it. He has worked through the ministry to do it as God promised he would do. Now, Satan's own name is Son of the Morning. What's he trying to tell you? In that great triumphant morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. Right? Going to be there, are you? Satan has got millions of people singing it. He's got millions of people singing it. In fact, he's got over 1 billion people singing it. And the Catholic Church is no different than Mohammedans. If you are a Mohammedan and need to kill somebody and do it, you've got a first choice rate in heaven and all the wives you want after that. Heaven is just one big sex pot. I could just see the harem girls coming like a revolving door. Catholic Church, same junk. Just a little different crap, that's all. Same junk. They promise you anything. Just do it my way, do it my way. I promise you nothing. I can't give you one thing. I can't help you one way. I can stand here and preach. And if I'm not seen, though I could tell you the whole truth, it won't do me any good either. They promise it. Now, what is Satan doing? Peter tells us. Now, let me show you something at the end time. 2 Peter, the second chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people. This is Moses in the Exodus. Even if there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. That means saying no to the Lord, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, their damnation slumbers not. Now, just a minute. He's speaking of the end time. He is speaking of the end time. You follow what I'm saying? Now, listen to me. A while ago, I brought to your attention that the sealed book remains sealed until the Redeemer stepped forward. And at that time, they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. And he comes down here in the pillar of fire with the Word, and they crucify the Word. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Back there, there were prophets. Today, there are teachers who, with feigned words, make merchandise of you. Now, you can be bought this morning with the precious Word of God that has the life of the blood in it, or you can be bought by Satan through his words, which are the very words of this book perverted. Now, don't blame the Catholics now, because the Catholics got the Bible. Whereas they were commanded one time not to read the Bible, they are told to read the Bible. So all the Christian system, so-called, has the Bible open. Now, the point is, my own Bible here is the Catholic Bible's identical. I'm sure the Douay version hasn't changed this, and I'm sure the Knox translation hasn't. I've got both of those. I got a third one, too, I think. Plus about 20-some others. And all the books to make comparison. And you'll find it says right in here. And it was under the black horse that merchandise was made to the people. Which was, hey, you belong to my church, you give to my church, you build my church, and you do this with the church, and you got it made. There's two churches. One above, one below. There's two Jerusalems, one above, one below. What are you patterned on? Jesus said, Abraham, believe me. He recognized me. I was with him back there. We are with Christ back there. Can we recognize him today? I hope we can. Now listen, let's go to 1 John. And I got to quit because time's running up. And I feel bad also bawling you up. Not really bawling you up, but hey, look. I get kind of tired of this bit. You know, Lee Vail's a nice guy, but he's in the flesh and this and that. Look, if you don't have any use for really the person that you think I am, I would sooner you go someplace else. Because if you haven't got confidence in this guy right here, then I'm not going to lay you an egg, and I'm not getting out of line. You better get yourself somebody who can satisfy you. Because all it's going to do is make hurt feelings in the long run. Not necessarily mine, because I've taken this for years and years, and I've been in the ministry since 22 years of age. That gives me 62 solid years. I want you to know this one thing. I have not laid anything on the line but the truth. And if I did not belong here, God would have got me out of here. And let me tell you what I meant when I said a long time ago, I said, if I had to do things over again, we first had trouble way back, you know. Never mind the second time, but the first time around. I said, if I were to do things over again, I would not do what I did before. Let me tell you what I meant by that. I would have sold our house right here for $35,000, lost $20,000, and moved out. I would never change my stand for Christ and the Word of Christ. So don't anybody expect me to let up now on anything. Because I'm going to get out of here, and by the grace of God, I've got to have everything in me pointing toward this Word, because without it, I am a mess. I have no hope unless there's a life released in this Word. I can't rely on William Branham for 15 seconds. I can't. He's gone. I've got to rely on his Word that he gave vindicated. thereby rely on God. Now, listen to what John said. So I apologize. At the same time, I'm taking nothing back. Because sometimes I say things a little bit rough. And if they're rough, I'm sorry. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. That's all I can see. Listen, right here it says in 1 John chapter 4, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, it tells you right there, is come in the flesh. It doesn't say has come. It says is. It's talking right there now about a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, already that spirit was going to take away the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. And you know something? That's exactly what the church has always done. It's only the true baptism puts you into Christ, and the church says, shake my hand, come this way, do this, hear the other thing, and you come in. You don't come any other way except by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, where God acknowledged you as a son, and he placed you as a son, and he cannot do any more than place you because you already are a son. Because you are a son, God has given you the Holy Ghost. Because you're a seed. And they say, hey, no way. That's exactly why the priests have always given you a wafer and then drunk the wine. Then you go out staggering. Well, you saw when John Kenny is buried, look at how many the guy drank so much he literally pooped with his poison. Drinking, picking lagers of flagons of... You don't do that. Baptism. Listen, taking this communion does not signify you're receiving the Holy Ghost. It signifies before God you're guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. There's only one evidence, believing the Word. Come on. It's the only thing, brother. I'm not saying, say, look, I'm not trying to hurt a soul. That's the end of it. Okay, we're time's up. I read it anyway. Now listen, and ye are of God, little children, overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he of the world. In other words, the Spirit of God's in you. Now listen, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. Tells you right there, there's a way. There's a way that you can know. As it was back in the days of John, it's the same thing today. And Brother Branham said, under the seventh seal, the thunders came forth, the revelation of the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Here's your picture. Let's rise and be dismayed. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your love and mercy to us. So many times, maybe the people don't think I'm loving them. But Lord God, if I don't love them, then that could be true. But I do love your word, at least in a measure. And I do love to see people believe that word. And if I didn't love them, Lord, I wouldn't be here preaching. I could be preaching someplace else. But I know, Lord, you love me and you love them. We all love your word together. And somehow we'll all get this thing straightened out where all minds can become one. Where there can be a unified trust and an understanding, O God. Because we believe there's something greater than what we see in the land today. We believe, Lord, there's something in a family of God that is rich, regal, and a depth of an understanding and a power of God. Is to be loosed in the midst of the people, to bring us into that genuine love and reality, Father. That's all we long for. We've seen the other. We've been part of the other. We're demonstrating the other. Doesn't make us feel one bit good. It just makes us realize all the more that the negative must come to the positive. So, Father in heaven, we just pray now that we'll be not slack, as Brother Branham knew we'd be slack, which positively he told us we'd be doing things so engrossed in so many things that we wouldn't be giving enough time for the word which is the conduit, which is the food, and which is the life. Even as we know that that we have to eat food in order to get our strength, our nourishment to keep this thing going, we know, Lord, we've got to have word, the word of life to keep our lives going. And we know, Father in heaven, that you're helping us this hour, and we don't want to be impatient, but I'm a very impatient man in this respect. I recognize that. I'm not impatient, Lord, concerning your revelation which you give, because I think maybe I passed a couple of tests, not as I should have passed them, but a little bit, where I can wait and not be too impatient. But, Lord, I've been impatient all my life to come to a place where there is that walk in the Spirit of the evenness of that life, Lord, which when we stand before people, we don't have to talk. Our very lives can talk for us. And when we do talk, there is a real union. One is synergistic to the other because we know the life is there and the walk is there. And the whole thing shows forth the holistic life which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Forgive us our sins this morning, Lord, and help those that aren't saved to be truly born of the Spirit of God. And any of us, Lord, that are sort of wandering around, paddling, as it were, our feet in the water, may we go, Lord, to Ezekiel's river flowing outside the eastern gate launching until the water comes way past our waist. Waters not just to swim in, but cross to the other side. Fill us, Lord, we pray, with the Word, and the Word with the Holy Ghost, and us those vessels. That's what we really desire, because that's what we're aiming for. Turn us right around, Lord, where we need turning, so that there's a complete matching up as it should be. Now we want to thank you again for your kindness and mercy, the health you give us, and all these things, Lord, you poured upon us. We're very, very grateful, Father. And if we don't seem grateful at times, please forgive us, because we aren't as grateful as we ought to be. This is the greatest day ever, Lord. This is the most marvelous time of the ages, and here we are. And we should be grateful. I'm learning a little bit, Lord, to be a little happier than I once was about the age in which I live. I'm grateful, Lord, that I can be a part of it in this respect. And I thank you for helping me to understand. And by your grace, Lord, we'll all understand and go on together to that great city which we claim as our mother and believe to be our mother. And now, Father, dismiss us as we go. We ask these mercies in the name of Jesus Christ for your honor and glory.